On the way to services this morning, I told Terry and Christina a story about a fella who was approached by five gunmen. And the gunman told this fella, "We've got some good news and we've got some bad news." He said, "The bad news is we're here to gun you down. But the good news is that if you can tell us exactly what time it is, we're not going to gun you down." Of course, the guy's confused and thought, "Well, what is this all about?" And he realizes, "I don't have a watch." And so he says, "I don't have a watch." And he said, "Well, there's more good news. There's a fellow standing right behind you, and he's got a watch, and his watch has the exact time on it. And we're going to let you ask him one question. That's all you get. You can ask him one question." So he turns around to the guy with the watch and he said, "You got the time?" And the guy said, "Yeah." Misunderstanding can be a tragic thing, can it? What he meant was, "Give me the time." But he answered the guy's question, didn't he? What's most tragic of all is when people misunderstand God's word. You know, to misunderstand something is to take words or statements in a wrong sense, or to understand wrongly. At least that's the definition that I got out of dictionary.com. To fail to understand or interpret rightly the words or behavior of. Now, it's one thing to fail to understand God's word. It's really another thing to misunderstand God's word. You see, a person may not fully understand a passage at this time, but that doesn't really mean he misunderstands it. If he studies the passage honestly and diligently, he will come to a proper understanding of that passage. On the other hand, if he approaches it in the wrong way, he may very well come to the wrong conclusion, thereby a misunderstanding. So you see the difference. To get the wrong thing from a passage is to misunderstand it. Now the Lord spoke to those who misunderstood the Scripture. Remember Matthew chapter 22 when the Pharisees had just came to the Lord and they asked him about paying taxes, and he put them in their place with his answer. And then after they left, the Sadducees came along. Now the text tells us there that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the eternal nature of the soul. And so they come to the Lord and they ask him this question about the woman who's married to this man and he dies, and so she marries his brother and he dies, and thus until she's married to seven brothers. And they all die. Well, when she dies, whose wife will she be in the afterlife? And what they're trying to do is show Jesus how silly the belief of the afterlife or the soul is. You know what Jesus said to them? Look at verse 29. It says, "You are mistaken." Now, some translations say, "You err." We know what error is. He said, "You err, you are mistaken, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God." And then he gives them a statement of fact about the angels, and we'll be like the angels in heaven, not married or given in marriage. That aspect of our life and our desire in this world will not be in existence in heaven, and we'll never miss it. Heaven will be a wonderful place. And then he gives the illustration about Abraham and Isaac, and sometime later on, after they had died, God had declared, "I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac." That was long after they had died. And Jesus said, "God is not the God of the dead, but the living." Jesus taught a lesson by necessary implication there. And the necessary implication was they must still be alive, even though they've died. They've lived on. But these people had a tragic misunderstanding of the Word of God. And there are truly many people in our age who misunderstand the Word of God. In fact, I believe it's safe to say that there is a gross misunderstanding among the people in the society in which we live. And remember, before we point the finger at the denominations and other people, remember there's four more fingers pointing back at us. If we think that we are immune or resilient to misunderstanding God's word, we better be very careful. There are many brethren who misunderstand the word of God in one area or another. There's a great danger involved in misunderstanding the word of God, because it can lead not to just five gunmen coming up and shooting you. It can lead to eternal destruction. And so with this in mind, I want us to spend a few minutes this morning discussing some reasons why people misunderstand God's word. This is really just a basic lesson, but if we can understand and be reminded of why people misunderstand God's word, maybe then we can avoid misunderstanding God's word ourselves. I want to suggest to us this morning three reasons why people misunderstand God's word. Number one, write it down. People misunderstand God's word because of improper leadership. Improper leadership. And when I speak of leadership here, I'm speaking of those who are teachers of the word of God. Whether it's the preacher or the Bible class teacher or maybe an elder or a deacon, thousands upon thousands of people misunderstand the word of God because of the teachers they have, or the preachers that they are listening to and respecting. Now, we ought to respect a gospel preacher, don't get me wrong, but we ought to not put more faith in him than we do in the word of God. We need to always remember, even Paul, remember in Acts 17:11, they checked him out. Who'd they check out? The apostle Paul. And God called him noble-minded. God didn't say, "Who are you to check out my apostle?" He called him noble-minded for checking out Paul. We need to check out teachers. There was a case of preacheritis cropping up at Corinth, and Paul addressed that in 1 Corinthians 1:10-17. Some of you are saying, "I'm Apollos." These others are saying, "We're Cephasites. We follow Cephas." Others say, "Well, we follow this and we follow that." People become more devoted to a teacher than they are to the Word of God. And whatever that preacher or whatever that teacher believes and teaches, that's what I'm going to believe and teach. And it's just a blanket rule. Several years ago, I got involved inadvertently in an online Bible study with a young man who believed in theistic evolution. We're not going to get into all that, but I was debating and studying with this young man online about the falsities of theistic evolution. And finally, obviously, he couldn't answer the arguments that I presented from the Word of God. And so he wrote back and he said, "Well, my preacher is an older man, and he's been preaching the gospel for many, many, many years, a lot longer than you have. He's went to the schools, and he's a good man, and he says it's true, and if he says it's true, I say it's true." You ever heard anything like that before? And so he was misguided. He was led into a misunderstanding of the Word of God because of improper leadership. I've mentioned years ago, or I mentioned many times about years ago, a friend of mine named Steve, he was a Baptist preacher. And we were sitting down one time talking and discussing. Now remember this, he's a Baptist preacher, well known in the area there, preached for a very large congregation. And he was in his mid-50s. He had went to the seminaries. He had been preaching for all these years, full time. And I was over visiting with him in his living room, and he asked me about the organization in our church. And I told him, I said, "Well, we have elders and we have deacons." "Well, how do you determine who's going to be the elder?" I said, "Well, we turn to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and we read the qualifications for the elders and the deacons in 1 Timothy 3, and also the qualifications for the elders in Titus 1. And if there are men who meet these qualifications and are willing to serve, we appoint them into the office." And boy, he just was so interested in me saying that. And listen to what he said to me. Now remember, a Baptist preacher preaching for all these years, went to the seminaries. He said, "I knew that somewhere in the Bible it mentioned something about elders and qualifications." Now, he should have known that. And he's their preacher, has been for many years. People loved him, respected him, followed him, and he's leading them into a misunderstanding of the Word of God. You know, there are improper leaders who are deceived leaders. Remember Matthew 15, verse 14? When Jesus was teaching there, and these apostles come up and said, "Lord, don't you know that you've offended them?" And Jesus said, "Oh, you're sorry, I'm so wrong. I shouldn't have offended those people. I really should be fired from my job because I've offended people." Now, that's not what the Lord said, is it? That's what you hear a lot today in America with political correctness. But Jesus said, "Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind, and they're both going to fall into the ditch." That's what he said. Jesus told people what they needed to hear, whether they wanted to hear it or not. And so, what do you mean by this? The blind leading the blind. That means the ones leading are deceived, and the ones following them are deceived by the deceived. And so, there are deceived leaders. Now, one may be deceived because he chooses to be deceived. He chooses to ignore parts of the Word of God. Or he may be deceived because of improper teaching and learning. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul. He was deceived because he'd been taught wrong by his teachers. He was, I believe, honestly deceived. Remember in Acts 23, verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Paul said, "I've had a good conscience." Well, Paul, how about when you were following Judaism and killing Christians? "Yes, I did it in good conscience. I believed I was doing what was right." He was misled. He was deceived, but he was deceived by his teachers, wouldn't he? Remember in Acts 22:3, he mentioned that he studied under Gamaliel, who was a very prominent teacher of Judaism, of Pharisaism. Over in Galatians 1:14, he said he more diligently strove to follow the traditions of his fathers than many of the contemporaries in his own nation. He was deceived, and being deceived, without question, Paul deceived many others. And it was destructive, wasn't it? How many Christians lost their lives because of Paul's deception? And Paul was on the road to eternal punishment. He didn't even know it. That's the way people in the religious world are today. They're on the road to eternal punishment. You try to talk to them and show them what the Bible says. And I don't know how many sweet little old ladies I've talked to in nursing homes and other places. And they'll just smile and pat you on the hand and say, "I just know I'm okay. I just know I'm saved." Well, how do you know? "I just feel it in my heart." But the Bible says otherwise. Don't matter what the Bible says. "I can feel it in my heart." Why do you have that feeling in your heart? I'll tell you why. Because somebody told her. Somebody taught her faith only or some other false plan of salvation. It was improper leadership, wouldn't it? Isn't that a shame? Improper leaders can be deceived. Improper leaders can be deceptive. And they are deceptive, aren't they? Oh, there are so many passages, and I'll just start bringing them up here so you can be writing them down. Matthew 7, 15 to 20, as Jesus is about to conclude what we've called the Sermon on the Mount. And he talks about how the wolves will come in sheep's clothing. Now, remember, Jesus isn't talking about real wolves. In Acts 20, Paul refers to them as savage wolves. He's talking about false teachers. They come in, but they don't look like false teachers. They don't act like false teachers. They look and they act like wonderful, humble, sincere Christians. They look like sheep. But really, they're wolves and they're wearing a sheep suit. And so it's up to us to peel back the wool to make sure there's not a wolf under there, isn't there? Remember how I told you can tell the best way to tell? What does a sheep say? "Bah." What does a wolf say? Don't say that, does he? Best way to tell if somebody's a false teacher is listen to what they say. Compare what they say with the Word of God. It's the Berean test, isn't it? Listen to what they say. But these wolves that are wearing sheep clothing, they're intentionally trying to deceive people, aren't they? They're intentionally trying to mislead and to teach error. In Acts 20, 29 to 30, where Paul called them the savage wolves, he said, "They'll come in among you, not sparing the flock." And he said, "Men will rise up from yourselves, from the eldership itself, and draw away people." teaching perverse things, it says. Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul's talking about the Judaizers there. He said they come in by stealth. Now, some of you think about the stealth flyer, the stealth fighter. It means it's constructed in such a way that it's a very difficult, if not impossible, to be picked up on radar. In other words, it's kind of undercover, it's hidden, it's invisible. And so Paul's talking about these brethren in Galatians 2, 4 to 5, and they come in by stealth. And they try to mislead and deceive people. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, Peter talks about false teachers, and he says there, well, there were false teachers, 2 Peter 2, 1 to 3, there were false teachers among the people. In the Old Testament, there were false teachers and deceivers, weren't they? He said, and there will be false teachers among you who will secretly, see there it again, they'll secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. In verse 2, look at here, many will follow their destructive ways. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. Now somebody says, why do they do it? Why do the wolves put on the sheep clothing and go in among the brethren to deceive them? Peter said, by covetousness. It's money, isn't it? It's money. They want the money. They've got to have the money. It's a money thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, Paul said, we are not as so many peddling the word of God. Now, Paul said, we're not doing that, but there are many who are. We're not as them. They're peddling the word of God. They're using the word of God just to line their pockets. And we know all the stories. 2020 and some of the others have went in and exposed some of these religious leaders. Remember a fellow, he's back on TV now. I think he spent some time in prison, but I used to see him occasionally on TV years ago. I used to watch him just because he was amusing. It just tickled me. I was amazed. How could people believe this guy? Robert Tilton. Are you familiar with Robert Tilton? He'd get on there and it just, and I could just see him now doing this right here and just praying, and people were sending him money by the bucket loads with their prayer request, and they came in and investigated him and determined that he was just taking them envelopes, taking the money out, throwing the letter in the trash, and wasn't reading the letter, just peddling the word of God, wouldn't he? Just to get the money. He was a deceptive leader. He was intentionally trying to deceive people. And let me tell you something. He had a large mansion. He had nice cars. He was deceiving a lot of people. That's the shame of it. That's why it's important for our leaders, whether it's the preacher, the elder, the Bible class teacher, to be well informed of the truth. And people have different ideas about what that means. Some say, well, if he hadn't went to the seminaries or to college, and he's not really fit to be a preacher. I wonder what college Peter went to. An old preacher friend of mine, one time he went to try out, we may use that term, try out for a job preaching at a church, and they sent him down. They said, well, how many degrees do you have? And he said, 98.6 when I'm normal. And it's a shame that churches have come to that. But teachers become qualified through diligent study of the Word of God. Preachers, for example. In 2 Timothy 2:15, remember what Paul told Timothy as a young preacher? Study. Some translations say, be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. A worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. 1 Timothy 4:13 and also verses 15 and 16 tell the same thing. Give attention to the doctrine. Stick with it. Stay with the truth. Study it. Learn it. Know it. You're a preacher. You're a teacher. You're an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Preach the word. How can you preach the word if you don't know it? You've got to know it. And you know it by studying it. The elders, 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, one of the qualifications for the elders, not a novice or not a new Christian or a new convert. Someone who's well studied, who knows the word. Someone who is able, Titus 1, verse 9, to contradict those who are gainsayers. To stand up to them and to tell them what you're teaching is false and it's against the Word of God. They need to be able to do that. And they can't do it unless they know the Word of God. I've told people for years, you don't have to go out in the world and start studying all the different errors that are taught and learn every aspect of it. You just learn the truth, and when error comes along, you'll know it's error. Because you know what the truth is. Deacons, 1 Timothy 3, verse 9. Holding forth the word of righteousness with a good conscience. You have to know something to hold it forth, don't you? Religious leaders need to know the word of God. Proper leaders lead to proper teaching, and proper teaching keeps us from misunderstanding the word of God. Remember Ephesians 4:11-14? When he set up in the church the elders, the preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, and so forth, he set them all up in the church, the prophets. Why? That we may grow up in all things. That we may not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I tell you, leadership is important in the Lord's church. And improper leadership. People misunderstand God's word because of improper leadership. Number two, there's a second reason. People misunderstand God's word not just because of improper leadership, but because of inappropriate loyalty. What are we devoted to, really? Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 17? He said, if you will to do his will, you shall know concerning the doctrine, right? If you really want to do God's will, you're going to have the proper approach to his word, aren't you? You see, there are some people who've already decided how they want to live, and then they go to the word of God and try to see what they can twist to justify their lifestyle. But the person who really wants to do God's will go to the word of God saying, you know, I'm going to read God's word, and whatever it says, I'm going to do it no matter what I have to do. Jesus said that person will understand the word of God. The other person won't. Why? Because he just don't want to. He really don't want to. Now, there's a great danger of showing more loyalty to the favorite preacher or the favorite teacher or even the parents or to my own lifestyle than to God. And it'll cause one to listen to these other people rather than listening to the simplicity of the word of God. Listen, inappropriate loyalty will cause one to misinterpret Scripture. Remember what Peter said there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15? Actually, 14 to 16. He talks about people who are not following the truth and the wisdom that their brother Paul gave you. And then in verse 16, as also in all his epistles, referring to Paul's epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard or difficult, not impossible, but difficult to understand. It takes a lot of study. And he said, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the Scripture. They're twisting the Scripture, they're misinterpreting it, and they're twisting it. And Paul says they do it to their own destruction. That boy I mentioned about the theistic evolution, he followed his preacher. He could see the things that I taught him. He could see that it was an error, but he just couldn't conceive that this smart, beloved, great man could be wrong. What a shame. And so his answer was, you're wrong because here's what God's word says. It wasn't that. It was you're wrong because this preacher said you are. Well, that preacher has misinterpreted the Scripture, and now he's caused this young man to do so. This young man has misunderstood God's word. All kinds of misunderstandings. Remember, we talk about this one all the time. Romans 5:1, where it says that we have been justified by faith. We've been brought together, made peace with God through Christ, through faith. People say, faith only. Only problem is, I can't find that word only in Romans 5:1. Can you? Not there. Who denies that we're saved by faith? I don't know of anybody who does. But faith only, now there's a different story. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's not faith only, that's faith in baptism. Luke 13:3 says, you have to repent to avoid perishing. So that's repentance, salvation too. Maybe I can go to that verse and say, repentance only. No, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? We've got to look at all the verses, all the passages. Let all Scripture work together so that the man of God may be complete. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent and be baptized. That's not faith only. They already had the faith. Peter didn't say, you've already been saved. Or he didn't say the sinner's prayer, repeat after me. He told them to repent and be baptized to have their sins washed away. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses Well, we could talk for days about their perversions of Scripture, but they go to a book that claims to be written in symbols. The angel signified it to John. Remember Revelation 1, 1 and 2? And they go to Revelation 7, and they take this 144,000 mentioned in verse 4, and then they concoct and twist and make up this doctrine that only 144,000 are going to heaven, and everybody else is going to live forever in paradise on earth. You hear them talk about that a lot. And this is where they get it here, Revelation chapter 7. But look at the text, verse 1. After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. And then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000. Now you heard me as I was reading that. I kept saying, the earth, the earth. Why was I doing that? That's where the 144,000 are, right? In this text, they're on the earth. The Jehovah's Witness said, no, those are the ones that's going to heaven, but they're on the earth here. Well, what about the ones that's going to live forever in paradise on earth? We'll go down to verse 9. That's where they get that. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, the great multitude. They said, there you go. Those are the ones who are going to live forever in paradise on earth. But wait a minute. Look at the verse. This great multitude is standing before the throne. They're in heaven. They just got it all mixed up, don't they? They've got the 144,000 in heaven and the great multitude on earth, but the text has it reversed. The Bible says the 144,000 are on earth, the great multitude's in heaven. You see how they twist the scripture? And that's one of the fastest growing religions still worldwide. And you know why they twist that scripture? When you show them this, that it's so plain and so clear, you know why? Because of their inappropriate loyalty to the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And I kid you not, they believe that's God's prophet on earth, and they'll believe anything they tell them just because they are the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. I am not kidding you. I have had a lot of studies with these people, and you could sit down at the kitchen table with them with a piece of paper that's white, just as white as snow, and you can say, now that piece of paper is white. They'll say, no, 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 it's black. And you say, well, look at it, it's white. And they'll say, well, I know it looks white, and it appears to be white, but in reality, that is a black piece of paper. Now, why do you believe that? Because the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society told me so. That's how ridiculous it is. So to study with them, you've got to shake their faith in the society. You can play Bible ping pong with them for 20 years and never get anywhere, because they're going to believe and see what the society tells them. You see, those people who follow the Word of God will just accept what the Word of God say. The homosexuals. You just read Romans 1, 26 and 27 sometime. Read it now if you'd like. I'm trying to move along. I didn't mean to keep you all day. But in Romans 1, 26 and 27, Paul says there, just plain and clear, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And you only have to read that casually one time to see that Paul's condemning homosexuality there. And yet you hear these people out here who claim to be Christians, and yet they're open homosexuals. And they argue for homosexuality. And they say it's okay, and it's acceptable, and God doesn't condemn it. And you hear them say things like, oh, it's natural, but this verse says it is against nature. They say, well, it's something to be proud of, and all the homosexuals, we ought to come out of the closet. And they talk about gay pride. Something to be proud of. Verse 27 says it's shameful. That's what God's Word says. They say, well, the Bible only condemns forced homosexuality. It only condemns rape and homosexual things. But the Bible here in verse 27 says, men with men burning in their lust for one another. They say, well, people are born homosexual and they can't change and God doesn't expect them to change. God says that those who are homosexual will not inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6:11-12, and that some there did change. Remember how you went on to say in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, justified, sanctified. See how they twist the scripture? They misinterpret the scripture because they want to live the way they want. The true child of God will just read the scripture and he'll understand it and he'll be complete. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Inappropriate loyalty will cause one to misinterpret the scripture and to misapply the scripture. There is a gospel preacher that I've had a lot of respect for many years. And unfortunately, a few years back, I came across a comment that he wrote, and my respect plummeted. Isn't it sad when that happens? He said, well, brother, so-and-so agrees on the truth the passage teaches, but we just apply that truth in different ways. The passage he was referring to was Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. And the brother he was referring to applied that passage in such a way as to allow those who did not have the right to marry to get married. Listen carefully. And this should just be common sense. When you misapply a truth, you have twisted that truth. You have practiced error. It's ridiculous to say, well, I believe this, but I'm going to apply it in such a way as to teach this. That'd be like me saying, well, I know 2 plus 2 equals 4, but in this particular mathematical equation, I'm going to say 2 plus 2 equals 5. Now, how's my answer going to turn out? Dead wrong. This is ridiculous. You cannot misapply a truth without perverting that truth. Jesus said that if someone puts away his spouse for any other reason than fornication and marries another, he becomes an adulterer. It is impossible to apply this in such a way as to allow the man to put away his wife for burning the toast and marry another while remaining innocent. It's impossible to apply it in that way without perverting and twisting that scripture. You see, people misapply scripture. That causes inappropriate loyalty because, see, this man this brother was talking about was someone who had been his mentor and his leader and his dear friend for many years. And rather than point him out as the false teacher that he was, he come up with this nonsense about, well, we just apply that truth different ways. That's not even good nonsense. And that's inappropriate loyalty. People misunderstand God's word because of improper leadership. People misunderstand God's word because of inappropriate loyalty. And people misunderstand God's word, quite frankly, because of inexcusable laziness. Don't they? I mean, just to be quite frank, some people are just too lazy or they're too preoccupied with self-endeavors, whether good or bad, to really sit down and regularly study the Word of God. Listen, I have heard people in adult classes complain because the material handed out was too difficult. Well, I don't like these questions. They're too hard to answer. You see, the real issue is, I don't like the questions because I have to sit down at home and actually spend some time studying and answering the questions. I want 2+2 questions. I want questions that I don't have to do anything at home. I can just come down, sit down, and the class begin. I can open up my book, look at the question, and I know the answer. That's what I want. I've seen adult class material that was nothing more than fill in the blank from the scripture. Now, that's fine, but we need more than that, don't we? We need some meat. I mean, what will a baby do if you try to stuff a ribeye steak down his mouth? He's going to cry, isn't he? Why? He's going to complain. He's got to have milk. Brethren, that's inexcusable. That is not acceptable behavior for a child of God. Inexcusable laziness causes ignorance of the Word of God. In Acts 17:11, those people weren't lazy. They searched the scriptures how often? Daily. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart. I had an elder in the church tell me one time, I just can't memorize things. And I said, what's your name? And he told me. I said, how'd you know that? Well, I just remembered it. maybe that was mean of me, but I didn't stop. I said, "What's your phone number?" And he told me that too. Didn't look at any paper. He knew his phone number. Well, you memorize those things. Yeah, but see, those things are important to me, and I'm around them and use them all the time. This is important to me, and I want to be around it and use it all the time. It's not that you can't memorize, it's that you're too lazy to sit down and do the work it takes to memorize and to write God's heart on your word, or word on your heart. I'm a little backwards, I know that. Ignorance of God's word has always caused destruction among God's people. Hosea 4:6, God said through the prophet Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Let's not whine and complain because the questions are too hard and it takes too much time. I can't do this. Just get busy, sit down, be diligent, and do it. Inexcusable laziness causes ignorance. Inexcusable laziness causes indifference. What that word basically means is I just don't really care anymore. I'll just go along. And people just get to where they don't really care what the preacher teaches, just so long as he isn't too boring, too long, or too quiet. I know of an incident that happened years ago. Some of you may be familiar with this. Among a certain church where the elders of this church decided to hire a man who was a very well-known preacher and an extremely good speaker. Now, this man had believed and taught error for years on the marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and the elders of that church knew that, and they believed that what he believed and taught on that issue was false, and so they sat down and struck a deal with him. "Now, we'll hire you, and you come here and be our preacher, but just don't preach on marriage, divorce, and remarriage." That's, brethren, that's indifference. True leaders in God's church, true lovers of God and lovers of His Word would demand that a man preach what he believes to be true. And that he preached the truth. The preacher took the job, they both compromised. This become indifference because of ignorance of the Word of God. We must never be indifferent to what the Word of God teaches. 1 John 4:1 says, "Test the spirits," not ignore them. Don't cut deals with them. You don't cut a deal with a false teacher. You don't strike a deal with Satan. You know, we see the shows or whatever, people strike deals with Satan. What happens? When the deal's over, their soul's gone. You don't strike a deal with Satan. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, Satan appears as an angel of light, right? Don't strike a deal with Satan. But I don't really care because I don't know much myself. I ain't been reading God's word. I ain't been studying. I don't really know. He teaches error, you say so, okay, fine. It don't sound like the truth to me either, but I really couldn't sit down and prove him wrong from the scripture. Why not? Because I ain't been reading my Bible. Why not? Because I don't care anymore. Misunderstanding God's word is tragic. And it's going to cost people their souls. The passage that Sam read for us a moment ago, and you can go to Psalm 119, and it's got this same familiar ring all the way through it. But I love this passage. And if we'd all have this attitude towards God's Word, we would never misunderstand the Word of God. The psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I'll keep it to the end." I'm just going to do what you say, Lord. I'm not worried about myself or my own desires. "Give me understanding and I'll keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." Oh, if we had that attitude, we would never misunderstand the word of God. Misunderstanding is tragic, and people misunderstand God's word because of improper leadership. Test the teachers. They misunderstand because of improper loyalty. Decide, I'm going to serve God no matter what, above everything else, even my own desires. People misunderstand God's word because of inexcusable laziness. Brethren, don't be lazy. Study God's word. That's the way you get to heaven. And it's the only way. Let's pray.